I want to use some scripture this morning that's very familiar. And I can tell you right now, this is not going to just be a one sermon. This is going to probably cover at least one more. I was thinking as they were singing that last song that Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good work and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Let your light so shine before men. In the coming year, years ago I used to, I would say, well, this is going to be my theme for the year. And I kind of got away from that. And I remember in 1994, I said, my text is going to be preaching more in 94. And I think I probably did. I probably preached a lot more. If I had a thought, though, that I would like for you to think about this year, and one that I hope to be able to put into place a little more this year, is the words out of the song. And I almost asked Tracy for this morning when she was calling the numbers, but there were two of you got in ahead of me, and that was all right. They were both good songs, and we're going to do that. Number 600 in the song book, and we're not going to sing it. And I'll tell you the title of it, so you don't even have to grab a book and look. More About Jesus. And that's what I hope to be able to preach more about Jesus this year. I want to begin this morning. First of all, we'll have two services here this morning. We'll close out the first part, and then we'll have the second part of the service, which will be the observance of the Lord's Supper. But I want to go back, and I'm going to give you an opinion right off the start. It is mine, and you can take it for whatever it's worth. You can arrive at your own conclusions, however that you want to do. And most of you already have, so I'm probably not going to change any opinions here this morning. And that's all right, too. But if I were to ask each one of you this morning, where do you believe the church really began? I'm sure that we'd come up with a lot of different answers. But I'm going to tell you what I believe, that you have the first indication from the Word of the Lord of the church being in existence. And that's in the fifth chapter of the book of Matthew. And it's when the Lord says, "And seeing the multitudes," he, speaking of Jesus, "went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying." Now, my opinion is, and it's strictly my opinion, I recognize that my opinion is not worth much most of the time. And so I say that, but this is where I see the church, as I understand the definition of a church, coming into existence. There are some things that are essential, according to the Word of the Lord, to have a church. And I believe that all of the things that are essential are here. That, you know, probably the simplistic definition of a church of the Lord Jesus Christ is a visible body of baptized believers gathered together in the name of the Lord. And he had that. He had at this point in time, he not only had those that were here who had come out of curiosity, but he had a number of men here whom he had called to come to follow him. And those men had been prepared for this time. They had already been baptized by John the Baptist. And maybe here in the next few weeks, I'll go back and pick up some of John's preaching to indicate, you know, where I pick up some of my opinion here. But certainly, you had them together here. As I understand, maybe for the first time in the Word of the Lord, when all 12 of them were present. Now, I differ with some of my preacher brethren, and probably with some of you, in that I'm convinced that the man Judas was here and that he was involved in all of the work that was done during the time that the Lord here was upon the earth. Though he was definitely not an individual that was saved, and that he was not going to be a part of that ultimate church, but certainly at this point in time, and again, to demonstrate to each one of us that you cannot look at the outward appearance. Joyce mentioned this briefly in her comments this morning, that we cannot always tell by looking at the outward appearance of the individual. You cannot look at the individual and tell what is in their heart. I guarantee you that. Know that from experience, you simply cannot do it. We are very judgmental. Jesus said, judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and what measure you meet, it shall be measured back unto you again. That's probably my favorite verse out of the Word of the Lord. It's the most difficult for me to practice because I'm very judgmental. I do the same thing that probably many of you do. I pass judgment on individuals initially by just what I see, and sometimes, many times, it has proved to be erroneous. And so I've learned that you've got to be very careful about how that you judge the other individual. I also have a tendency to be judgmental in favor of the underdog. I'm that way. Joyce used an illustration of somebody that comes in who don't meet our standards. I'm probably going to be a little more sympathetic towards them than the rest of you. Excuse me, because I know many times exactly what does happen and that they get a bad deal out of it. Well, anyway, I'm getting away from my subject. Jesus has his disciples here. These are men whom he has called. He has chosen them, and they're going to be with him for some time. The first thing that he's going to do before he sends them out, he's going to do some preparation. He's going to give them some instruction. He's going to tell them some of the things that he expects out of them, and also some of the things that they can expect as they get ready to go out. That's one of the failures that we have today is that too many times we just put all the emphasis on getting them saved, and once they're saved, letting them go. We need to be sure that people understand the most important thing in life that you're ever going to do is to come to the Lord and to be saved. Whenever that you go back and you read John's preaching, you'll find that it isn't quite as simple as what we've tried to portray it to be today. Again, we need to go back to the Word of the Lord and examine it very carefully and read and study and to see what the Word of the Lord says. Jesus, as he gathered these men together, had some men, as I said earlier, who are qualified. He has qualified them. He's still able to do that today. He still does that today. He qualifies the individuals. He also then, once he qualifies them, he prepares them. And he tries as best he can to give us understanding so that whenever we do go out here, that we're a little bit better prepared than what the average person might think that we need to be. We, as one of his children, need to be knowledgeable in the Word of the Lord. That means we need to study the Word. I want you to listen to what Jesus said. When he began to teach, he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, and these are spoken of as the Beatitudes. When they begin, blessed, 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 blessed. Let me tell you something. Blessed means to be happy. I'm amazed at how many of our supposedly Christian people, they are not happy. And I feel like that probably there's a reason that we're not happy as one of God's children. And most of the time it's because we're not paying enough attention to the Lord. We're paying too much attention to everyone else. We're paying too much attention to the expectations of what we perceive as being the expectations of the church, or the expectations of the preacher, or the expectations of somebody else, rather than what are the expectations of the Lord Jesus Christ. We spend too much time worrying and trying to take care of everything else excepting the most important things. And I'll guarantee you this morning, if you want to be a happy individual, if you want to be a blessed individual, then you listen and you heed what the Lord is saying to you. Now, he's going to speak to you through the Holy Spirit and through his word. He's going to speak to you from time to time by the Spirit or through the Spirit as he deals with your heart, and we need to be able to listen to him. We need to understand, you know, we're not all at the same level in our spiritual lives. We need to understand that. There are some of us who are still babes in Christ. There are some of us who still need the sincere milk of the Word. There are some who are able to take and to digest the strong meat, but there are some of us that are not there yet. And so you need to have patience with both, with those who are the babes in Christ and for those then who are able to handle the strong meat. Blessed, Jesus said, are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And see, he lists what will make these people happy. He lists who can be a happy person, and he tells what the results will be out of these. Now, we're not all going to have every single one of these characteristics. We're not everyone going to be poor in spirit. We're not all going to be and mournful all the time. We're not all going to be meek, and certainly we're not all going to be thirsting and hungering after righteousness. Sometimes, quite honestly, we like to revert to Mosaic law. Probably not a one of you here that haven't at one time or another. I don't know what you're talking about, preacher. Well, let me tell you what I'm talking about. Old Mosaic law was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And just every once in a while, rather than being meek and being a person seeking after righteousness, I want some vengeance. I want them to get what they deserve, in my opinion. You know, that it may not be anybody else's. That's law. That's eye for an eye for a tooth for tooth. You did it to me, I'll do it to you. Now follow me? Now that's not the Christian way. No. You know, when I read the word of the Lord and I see what Jesus said about forgiving, I find out that it's pretty tough. And there are a lot of our people today who are professing to be Christians who cannot be Christian. I don't care how much that they profess it. You cannot be Christ-like and not be a forgiving person. And you can't just forgive one time. You've got to be able to forgive and to forgive and to forgive and to forgive and multiply it and multiply it. Just keep on. Oh, no, that's why I say it's not easy sometimes. Sometimes, you know, we need to thirst and hunger after righteousness. We need to be sure that we're on the right track. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Now see, we sometimes like, oh, you know, I'm just so persecuted, I'm just so mistreated, I'm just so ever this and that. We feel sorry for ourselves and put ourselves on a pity trip. And we're not being persecuted for Christ's sake. We're being persecuted for some of our own things. It's a whole different ball game. Let me tell you something. Sometimes we need to be able to experience a little bit of humbleness. Sometimes we need to be able to know what it is, to stand up for that which is right, and to say what is true, rather than just saying, well, you know, I'm afraid to do that because, you know, I'm probably going to upset someone. Listen, Jesus said, blessed are they, are ye, when men shall revile you. Now, he's speaking to his disciples here. I recognize that. But you know what he's also doing? He's preparing them for what they're going to face when they go out. And I want to pick up Sermon of the two. I don't know whether it be next Sunday, but before too long, I want to pick up. I don't want to just leave you here with this first little bit, because this is just the icing on the cake. We're going to get down to some of the meat here in just a little bit. Whenever the Lord begins to say, listen, I'm going to tell you what you guys need to be aware of, what you need to be watching for, and here's what you can expect is going to happen. We all need to know those things. You know, I said, let your light so shine. The Bible says, I didn't say it. I quoted it a while ago. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. You know, there are a lot of our people today who don't even want to let the light shine. So, oh, my little light's going to shine. I'm going to let it shine, shine, shine. They're not letting it shine. Not following the Lord. Jesus tells exactly how you let your light shine. Some of them don't want to hear it. Don't like it. Does everything don't please them. Jesus didn't say in his word, well, I've got to please you, and so I've got to do everything to please you so you can let your light shine. I'm convinced that there's not a single person that God says that if they're going to follow the Lord, they're not going to let their light shine. If they follow the Lord, they will. You can believe whatever you want to. I'm just telling you what the word of the Lord says. Jesus here said to his disciples, blessed are you, ye, when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. He didn't say to say anything about you. He said to say against you falsely. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now listen, I want you to know what Jesus said, and I'm going to close. Jesus said, great is your reward in heaven. A little later, he's going to admonish his disciples and say, don't you be like some of those people are. They have their reward. You know, yeah. But it's not in heaven. They're going to get their reward down here. They're going to get their reward in that glorification and satisfaction that they get out of being able to do the things that they might be seen of men. There's a lot in the word of the Lord that a lot of our people just simply do not want to be there. Because it's not all easy. I'm not going to stand here this morning and tell you, oh, it's easy to follow the word of the Lord. It is not. It can be a joy to us. It can be a blessing to us. But don't you think for a minute that if you're going to be a true child of God and you're going to follow Him, well, I'm a child of God and it don't make any difference. Well, I know you are. I'm talking about a child of God that has some blessedness about them, some joyfulness about them, some peace about them. And I'm going to tell you this. I hope that each one of us will be determined that as we go through this year and that we'll learn more about Jesus, that we'll look a little happier about it. Good grief, people. If there's anybody in the world that needs to be enjoying the work of the Lord, why, I'm telling you this morning, I was blessed when you sang the second song. Now, you see, you might have cheated me out of the blessing. You said, well, we're not going to sing two songs because that's more. I've already met with our song leader and our pianist, and we've already had a conversation. I've already let them know. You know, I don't want you all here to feel like that this can't be your service. It's supposed to be your service. Not just the songs, not just the preaching, anytime. You know, it's been so long since I've had somebody get up right in the middle of a sermon and testify, I'd probably be startled right now. But it used to be something that wasn't uncommon. And I don't think the Lord always just says, I've got to wait until the parson gets through before I can move in your heart. No, he don't do that. He works just the opposite. He moves in your heart. You need to move, and he'll take care of my heart. Yeah. We need to be a happy people, blessed people. We can be a blessed people. We are a blessed people, whether we acknowledge it or not. But we can be more blessed, and we'll know more about the Lord.